The professor's head felt heavy and his neck hurt. He looked around and saw he was sitting on something like a white rubber carpet. A bubble car floating on air several inches above the carpet pulled up beside him. He saw that all the buildings around him were made of mirrors and glass.
This must be the future,
he thought. A woman wearing a white plastic suit and strange shoes got out of the car and asked him if he was all right. Her name was Glynis, and she was a doctor. James didn't know what year it was, and when he heard it was the year 3000, he could hardly believe it. He told Glynis he was from the 21st century. She thought perhaps he'd hurt himself and asked him to come to her office for an examination. Glynis found nothing wrong with him. As she was examining James, he noticed that her skin and hair were completely different to his. Hers was so shiny and perfect, it didn't look real. James explained what had happened to him, and he asked if any sort of time machine had been developed so that he could get home. Glynis said there wasn't one, but she suggested they look up his name on the computer to see what information it might have on him. They found that the computer only had information on him up to the day he had begun travelling through time. Next to that day, it said,
presumed dead.
He couldn't understand it. Did that mean he never made it back to the present? Would he always be travelling through time? He asked Glynis if she could take him to his hometown. Perhaps he could find where Dr. Applebaum used to live. Maybe there was a secret passage under his house. Glynis looked at him sadly.
That's impossible, she said. The world as you knew it has been destroyed.
Glynis drove him to a place where he could view the old world. During the drive, she told him what had happened. The sun had melted most of the ice in the Earth's polar areas, causing worldwide flooding. The Earth's temperature had risen, and thousands of people had died. Finally, in 2300, the world government had helped build glass shields around the highest areas of the Earth to protect people from the sun and the water.
Perhaps that's why our hair and skin are so different,
Glynis said.
We no longer have natural sunlight or air.
She took him to the edge of the glass shield where he could see miles and miles of water. There were video screens set up along a walkway which showed the Statue of Liberty, the Eiffel Tower, Big Ben, and the Acropolis, all underwater. There was a large circular hole full of water nearby. There were pipes taking water out of it to a nearby factory. Every few minutes, the water was sucked out, then refilled from below. Glynis explained that this was how they got water from outside and changed it into clean, usable water. James went close to the edge to look down into it.
Professor, don't!
Glynis screamed, but it was too late. The water was sucked out, and the force of the air around it pulled him inside. When the bottom opened, he was pulled from the future world underwater to the old world where he used to live.